Excellent, excellent job. Thank you so very much. My help comes from the Lord, the one who is the maker of heaven and earth. Would you find your Bibles and find Matthew chapter 21? We're going to be reading verses 18 through 22. Matthew chapter 21. We appreciate you being here today. It is a good day, of course, to come and be able to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we're glad that you have come. We have been in Matthew since December. Continuing on in Matthew, most of our adult and youth Sunday school classes, as well as on Sunday mornings, we recognize the importance of understanding that Jesus is the King of Kings, probably the gospel writer that emphasizes the kingdom and the fact that Jesus is our King and He is our Savior, not just the King of one group of people, but the King of all people who come and place their faith in Him. And we appreciate you coming, being a part of what's going to take place today. Already, it's a great day in the Lord. Matthew chapter 21, be reading verses 18 through 22. Would you stand in honor, if you are able, of the reading of God's word today? In the morning, as he was returning to the city, he became hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he went to it and found nothing on it but only leaves. And he said to it, "May no fruit ever come from you again," and the fig tree withered at once. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither at once?" And Jesus answered, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you'll not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive. If you have faith." May the Lord bless the reading of His holy word today, and you may be seated. Steve Fawcett was a record-setting American adventurer, aviator, and sailor who became the first person to fly around the world in a hot air balloon in 2002. He also piloted a plane nonstop without refueling all the way around the world that he made it in 2005. He's known for 100 records in 5 sports, including sailing, gliding, and flying. He's a renowned risk taker who disappeared while flying over Nevada in 2007. Born in Tennessee, he was deemed the most accomplished speed sailor ever with 23 world records. He swam the English Channel. He ran the Iditarod, climbed major mountain peaks. He dared to do that which has not been done and fulfill his dreams. After his 67-hour flight around the world without refueling, Fawcett said, "I am a really lucky guy now. I got to achieve my ambition." While I know nothing about his faith or about his spiritual life, I'm using this as an illustration to talk about what the Lord can accomplish through His church and through you. So I'm going to ask you, for the next few minutes, maybe put aside your own ambitions and maybe even personal dreams, but instead, may it be today that we kind of discover and seek what the Lord can accomplish through you. I'm impressed with the life of Steve Fawcett. Whatever drives a man to accomplish much, set so many records, the world should take notice and give accommodation. But what if we could have the same drive? Not necessarily to accomplish our own ambitions or even our own dreams, but what if we could have the same drive and be able to put this church and put even our own lives in the hands of God to be used by Him, I can tell you that the Lord will move mountains. How you view this passage that we've read in Matthew chapter 21 and others like it depends largely on your spiritual growth as a Christian and where you are on your journey. It may have little to do with how long you've been a follower of Jesus and more to do with your spiritual maturity and your intimacy with Christ. Let's begin with the premise that we all need to grow. Thank goodness we recognize that the Lord is not through with any of us. And we call this story that we've read a living parable, not just a story, but an event used to teach a lesson. This lesson has to do with being called to a higher level of Christian living. I firmly believe all the things that have been happening in your life, all the things that have been happening in the life of the church for the past few months, and even the past few years, and even our working through the last few years, we've kind of been preaching through the Old Testament, and even since we have been in Matthew since the 1st of December, have all led up to this point and this passage to be able to use particularly for today. Boy, does that seem like a lot to put on one passage and on one Sunday? Let me let you in on a little secret. I feel that way just about every Sunday, every time we come together. However, today the Lord is calling us to a higher level of disciple, higher level of living as a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Now, you may have noticed in your notes, if you've got those in front of you, there are kind of three levels that we've talked about just to help us to be able to talk through this passage. But all are part of being a disciple of Christ and godly living. If you're not a follower of Jesus, if you're not a disciple of Christ yet, well, let this kind of be a preview of what things may could look like if you follow him. So we'll get started. We've got the first level that we learn, I believe, from this passage, and it's the level of expectation. It's the level of expectation. The Lord Jesus expects you to bear fruit. It's not a requirement as much as it is a result of your salvation. And it is reflected in this story. It's the very basic level of expectation for every believer. This event that we're reading in Matthew chapter 21 happened on the week of Holy Week, just a few days before the crucifixion. Many of the parables that Jesus told, some of the parables that we knew, were told during that week. Jesus told a lot of parables during that last week before he was crucified. Two of those parables are found in this chapter. It may be the ones that you're looking at in your Sunday school classes today. But Jesus is making his way back to Jerusalem on Monday after the Palm Sunday or after the triumphal entry. And we read just a moment ago that Jesus is hungry, reminding us that Jesus, as a man, though he was still 100% God, we recognize that he still had the same needs that we have. He was hungry, he was thirsty, he got tired, and he sees a fig tree with leaves. Now, Mark tells this same story, and he tells us that it was not the time of year for figs, but green leaves normally meant fruit, at least for figs. But when Jesus comes to the tree, there is no fruit, and Jesus pronounces a curse on the tree. May no fruit ever come from you again. Let me ask you, does this seem out of character for Jesus? It does seem out of character for Jesus. It's not out of character for you and me. We might curse sometimes, maybe a car or appliance or household item or a computer, when something does not work the way it should or doesn't work right away. Now, don't misunderstand this to mean that Jesus was hungry and then he became angry, killed that poor tree. Jesus is not really angry with the tree. On this last week, 4 days before the crucifixion, he saw in the fig tree a lesson, an illustration. For the fig tree, like the religion of Israel and like the religious many people today, it had the appearance of life, but there was in fact no fruit. May I submit to you that Jesus was no longer thinking about food or hunger pains, but another teachable moment for his disciples. Now that is not out of character for Jesus, who spent 40 days in the wilderness just after his baptism, communing with the Father. Or in Samaria, when the disciples went for food and Jesus met the woman at the well, or in fact, she met him. And when the disciples returned, they found that Jesus was no longer hungry because he was rejoicing over the new believer. May we take advantage of another teachable moment Jesus has with his disciples. The religion of the Israelites had all the appearances of having life and meaning, particularly in this Passover week. There would be many prayers that would be prayed during the Passover week. There would be many sacrifices, rituals, many seemingly significant events. But there was one problem. They did not know God. They did not have a personal relationship with the Lord, and the events had no lasting significance. Like the tree that had many leaves but no fruit, thus it was of no real value. The fig tree is a symbol of prosperity and peace in the Bible. As a matter of fact, one of the significant attributes of the promised land, as promised in Deuteronomy. A fig tree which would give off much shade was often known for people to come and maybe meditate and pray under the fig tree. Nathanael was seen by Jesus under the fig tree before he followed Jesus. Luke gives us this parable in Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9, where it says, "And he told this parable, a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, 'Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?' And he answered her, 'Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down. One of the lessons learned on the most basic level, Jesus expects his followers to bear fruit. Let me ask you, do you expect anything from God? Now, we might be a little uncomfortable talking about that we expect God to do this or expect God to be able to do that. But you should expect, or you should trust the Lord to produce fruit in your life. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If you are abiding in Christ, you will bear fruit. Let's talk about it. At least three kinds of fruit that would be biblical for us. We talk about bearing fruit. Christ-likeness would be one of those, becoming more and more like Jesus. Whenever we are being obedient, whenever we're pleasing to the Lord, it is fruit, such as the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, this is how they will know that you're my disciples. He said it on more than one occasion. On one occasion, this is how you know my disciples, how you love one another, by your love. Then he said, also, this is how you know my disciples, by following my commandments. We want to be more Christ-like. It is producing fruit. Also, disciple-making. That is more people coming into the kingdom. Seeing lives change around you as they have an encounter with the living Lord. Perhaps by your example, by your living witness, and by the words that you say in telling them about Jesus. And the third fruit, I'm going to call glory giving. And that is that we are living a life that gives glory to God, and we're speaking it. We're letting people know that whatever happens, we want to continue to give glory to God. It is seen in our worship, such as we're having today, having genuine worship. It is seen in your daily prayer time, the daily worship that you have. It's a life pointing to Jesus in everyday life. Now, the fig tree had leaves, but no fruit. Nothing wrong with leaves. Green leaves can be indication of fruit. So, let's talk for just a moment. What could be considered leaves with no fruit in the church or maybe in your own life? How about this? Putting on your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes and finding yourself in church. Now, that's a good thing. We should be doing that, but that's not necessarily fruit. When we gather together, it should bear fruit because we've been with God's people, because we've experienced the Lord. Public prayers, church activities, church socials, even renovating a church could be just leaves if it is not used to bear fruit. These are not bad, but leaves without fruit becomes useless if they are not producing fruit, such as Christ-likeness, such as disciple-making, such as glory-giving to Jesus. Church, let's be sure that as we go forward that we are not just growing leaves, but we are bearing fruit. I thought about saying it this way, but I'm not sure that you would take this very good by saying it like this. Let's be a little less leafy and a little more fruity. Probably not the way that we're going to respond to it today, which leads to the next level of responding to God, and that is dedication. Dedication. The next level is dedication to the Lord Jesus, to know him more and grow more in your faith. The Lord Jesus desires for you to know him more. This lesson on the expectations of God's people would in turn call the disciples to that higher level. Jesus, the Son of God, creator of the universe, the one who spoke creation into existence, he has every right and the power and authority to go up to a tree and to say it, may you never bear fruit again. And listen, because he said it, it is so, and it withered immediately. Environmentalists and tree huggers might would complain about a poor, defenseless tree being sacrificed to teach a lesson. But Jesus demonstrated that as important as God's creation is and our responsibility to care for it, preparing God's people for eternity is even more important. Did you notice the disciples' response? It says they were amazed. Actually, in the ESV it said that they were marveled. But at first glance, I find myself amazed that they were amazed. After all, they were there feeding the 5,000. At the feeding of the 4,000, the lame walked, the blind could see, lepers were cleansed, demons were cast out, water was walked upon, storm ceased, the dead people lived again. I mean, for a fig tree to wither. Seems kind of mundane. Matthew tells us it began to wither immediately. Mark tells us the disciples didn't see it until the next day. Now, my wife and I do not have much of a green thumb when it comes to gardening and plants. My wife certainly is better than I. But if you want to see a plant wither quickly, you just bring it over to the house. I believe we probably could take care of it. I want to say to the disciples, how amazing is it really? I mean, compared to everything else that you've seen. May I give the disciples some credit? I don't think they were amazed because they had forgotten all the other things that Jesus had done in the past. But whenever the power of the Lord was revealed, it never ceased to amaze them. And in truth, if your dedication to get to know God better, to know Him more, and your faith grows, you will be even more amazed and you will even marvel more at what God can do. Some of you have been members of this church for quite some time. You know the history of the church. You've been here. You've seen God at work maybe through some difficult times. You know that God has been at work. You've also seen God at work even through some great days. The wonder and the awe of God's work never ceases to amaze. It grows more and more. Maybe you're here today and you've gone through some difficulties where you learned to rely on God. And your faith was strengthened. You go through some tough times again. Maybe you're going through some difficult times even now. You remember how God was with you in the past and how He's with you before and He's with you today. Having faith, growing in Christ, still doesn't mean that it will not be hard. But know this, whatever you're praying for, whatever you're hoping will happen, no matter what it is, maybe it's a financial difficulty, maybe it's a relationship problem, family or emotional, God always has something better in mind. Something greater than what we could hope or imagine. And it has to do with knowing Him and growing in faith. Going through tough times and struggles does not always mean your faith will grow. It only happens when you learn to rely on Jesus and fully dedicated to Him to know Him better. You remember when Jesus, Peter, James, and John, they were coming down the mountain after the transfiguration. We talked about that just a few weeks ago. And as they come down the mountain, they find in the valley, there are the disciples, and they're trying to cast the demon out of the young boy, and they are unable to. And the Father explains to Jesus what is going, and He gives Him this question. If you can, will you help us? In Mark chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, Jesus said to him, if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father and child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Now, can I give you a couple of warnings here about false faith? A couple of warnings about false faith. Do not put your faith in your own faith. It's about faith in Jesus. It's about a genuine faith in the living Lord. Maybe this will help to understand a little bit. Some of you know that when I was in college, spent 2 or 3 years working for a bank in collection and repossession. Maybe new to some of you, not to all of you, that I was the repo man. But I often spent time on the phone in collection. I called up one lady and I asked her, she was 2 or 3 months behind, I guess, and she told me, asked her after about her payment. She said, don't have to worry about my payment. Jesus is going to make my payment. And I'm curious about this. I said, oh, do you mean the Jesus of the Bible is going to make your payment? After some other questions, and do you have a job? No. Any means of pay? No. Got anybody that can help you? She said, no, but Jesus is going to make my payment. I believe, and I asked Him to make my payment. And now consider I was much younger then. But I said, well, could you please tell Jesus that the payment needs to be in by Friday at 5 o'clock or I'm going to pick up your Mustang on Monday. That Ford Mustang was a sweet ride, I'm telling you. We understand and we know and recognize that it's about faith in Jesus and even admitting our inadequacies, but it's believing in Him. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26, with God all things are possible. Not because we put our faith in our own self or even in how much we are going to believe it to be true, but we put our faith in the living Lord Jesus, which leads to the second warning. God's will is always primary. God's will is always primary. It always applies in Scripture. That which you're asking for and how God answers will be in keeping with His will. We read a little bit earlier Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22, which tells us, and whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive it if you have faith. Listen, we realize we can pull that scripture out of the text and we could kind of claim, play a name it, claim it, whatever we ask, as long as I believe it, it's going to happen. But I want you to compare that, and we could use several scriptures. But in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, it says this, "And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him." Your prayer life is to never talk God into something, but to discover his will and his purposes in all matters. God wants you to grow in your trusting of him and his will. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't stop asking, but we're always asking there, "Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but yours." Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 7 says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord." At the most basic level, there is some expectation. He expects you to bear fruit. Next, there should be a dedication to know him better and grow in faith and fellowship. But for the disciples and for us, he calls us to an even higher level. And this is that level. It's the level of anticipation. It's the level of anticipation. Anticipate Jesus will come through, will do more. He does love and care for you. And that which would be impossible, Jesus makes possible. That which be impossible on your own by faith in Jesus and his will makes possible. The disciples asked, "How did the fig tree wither so quickly?" And Jesus said, in essence, "You think that's something? You ain't seen nothing yet. You will be able to say to this mountain, throw yourself into the sea, and it will happen." He did say, if you do not doubt, if you have faith, and through earnest prayer. Now, don't think that if you have doubts, it limits the power and the authority of God, because we recognize the power of God is unlimited. It has no limits. But it's okay to admit your doubts. It's okay to turn those over to him. The idea of a mountain being removed represents the power of God. And the disciples would do wonderful and miraculous things in the name of Jesus. We know as we read the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, the disciples spoke and all people from other languages understood and heard what they said. And as the gospel was preached, 3,000 were saved. We know in Acts chapter 3, we know that Peter and John healed a lame man. And then Peter preached, and then it was 5,000 who were saved. They were arrested at times, and they were beaten at times. Miracles were performed by the disciples and with the apostle Paul. Dead were even brought back to life. They most all died a martyr's death. But these ordinary men spread the gospel around the world. Maybe not literally, but practically, they moved mountains. You know, God's called this church to a higher level, to have faith enough to move mountains, to no longer live by the status quo. What's your anticipation of what the future looks like for this church? What is God's dream, or what is God's vision for his church here at Parkway Baptist Church? Well, maybe you've got other ideas or something in mind, but how about this? It is to lift up the name of Jesus, and it is to love people, all people. To lift up Jesus, to love each other more, to love this community as Jesus would, and be a part of spreading his gospel around the world. To do that which we could not do on our own, it will open doors like we have not seen in the past, in order that the kingdom of God may grow and more people may come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, and you and I might look more and more like Jesus. You know what my biggest problem is? Just us here today, I guess I could tell you. Do you know what my biggest problem with the plans that we have for the church, that we presented as the Lord's vision for the church? Over the next 5 years, I mean, even in contrast to the plans that we did 5 or 6 years ago. It is my problem is that you people are too positive about it. I need some naysayers. Please tell me that we cannot do what we have planned, even under the Lord's direction. They say we can do this. We need to make plans under his direction that we know that we cannot do on our own, and then let God do what they say can't be done. For in truth, it cannot be done. It cannot be done unless we continue to grow in the Lord and continue to put more trust in Jesus. God wants us to call us to do stuff that we think we cannot possibly do and then go and do it. So when God calls us to move mountains, it's not about the building and the budgets, but it's about the lifting up the name of Jesus, and it's about loving others and seeing people's lives miraculously change because of Jesus, anticipating God's going to do something even greater. What's your anticipation for your life? What's God's dream and what's God's vision for you? Well, truly only you and God can answer. But how about this? To rise to a higher calling and by faith in Jesus move mountains. To rise to a higher calling and by faith in Jesus move mountains. There may be mountains of problems or difficulties in your life. Moving or removing these mountains may or may not be God's will, but God may want to use the difficulty to shape your life or those around you. Sometimes accepting a situation or bearing the burden or forgiving or moving on is a mountain in itself. Anticipate that God is at work, but it may be in a different way than you thought. Anticipate that God and you want to be ready for whatever the Lord Jesus is going to do in your life. The mountain in your life may be the power to do that which you find difficult to do, but you know that the Lord wants you to do it. It could be being a witness in your family or at work or at school. It could be in the area of even tithes and offerings or kicking an addiction or a habit or a lifestyle change or simply being a faithful servant and giving Him 24/7 every day. So we recognize God has called you to live beyond expectations to bear fruit. It is to live a life of dedication to the Lord Jesus and walking and growing with Him every day. To a life of anticipation that the Lord is going to be at work to use you and your circumstances to not only help you to become more like Jesus, but to move or use the mountains in your life for kingdom purposes. God has a dream and a vision for you just as He does for this church. How do you find that? How do you accomplish that? Recognize it's not about the mountain, but it's about the mountain mover. Max Lucado said, "Stare at the mountain less and the mountain mover more." Now, we talked about Steve Fawcett, who piloted around the world. I read this story recently. Hans Boblinger lived in Ulm, Germany, and he wanted to learn to fly. Only problem was that he lived in the 16th century, long before Orville and Wilbur were around, and he wanted the impossible. Now, he spent his career helping people with the impossible. Often he was a tailor, but often he also made artificial limbs in a day when amputation was much more common due to injury or illness. Most of his days were spent helping the handicapped, and his craft led him to construct a set of wings that one day he was ready for a test flight in the Bavarian Alps, which were known for their upcurrent of winds. On this memorable day, friends were watching, and he jumped. And he soared for several minutes and landed, glided gently down. It was a great feat and a glorious day. Well, one day the king was coming to The bishop of the church and the citizens wanted to impress the king, so they asked Hans, could you do it again for the king? There they gathered together once again. There he had the wings on, and he was ready. King was watching, the bishop was watching, all the citizens of Ulm, Germany. Problem was that there was no upwind, no updraft on that particular day, but he jumped anyway. And he went straight down to the bottom, fell like a rock to the river below. Hans survived, but the king was disappointed and the bishop was mortified. On the next Sunday, as they all gathered in the church, the bishop preached the sermon. The title of the sermon was, "Man Was Never Meant to Fly." Hans believed him, put up his wings, never to fly again. He died soon thereafter, his dreams buried with him. That church was not the first church to stifle a dream. Through the years, many churches have become proficient explaining why we cannot fulfill the dream God desires for us to have. Church, today I'm asking you, let us be the church which helps people to be able to discover and fulfill the dreams that the Lord has for each and every member and everybody that comes through our doors. Well, that church in Ulm, Germany, the building's still there, but it's empty. Maybe because they stopped daring to dream. People still come in, tourists come in, visitors come in and look around the building. You know how most of them get there? They fly. Are you living up to God's expectations? Are you bearing fruit by abiding in Him? Have you moved to the next level of dedication, knowing and growing more in Jesus? Are you living with anticipation with the power and the presence of Jesus in your daily walk? Do you marvel at what Jesus is doing and anticipating what He's going to do? Our Lord is asking you today to move to a new level. Because salvation leads to expectation. Expectation leads to dedication. And dedication leads to anticipation. And it begins with your relationship with Jesus. And if you do not know Jesus today, if you do not know the salvation that is described in the gospel and the word of God, that Jesus can be your Lord and Savior, you can call on Him even today, asking Jesus to forgive you of your sin, asking Christ to be able to come in. If you know Him, intentionally gravitate toward Jesus and humbly allow Jesus to help you to grow and watch what Jesus can do in and through you. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Let's pray together. Father God, we thank You that we can come into the service and recognize that You are in our midst and in our presence and You want to do a great work. We thank You and rejoice with the things that have taken place. We thank You that we've been able to lift up praise today. Thank You for the baptisms. We thank You, Father, that You've heard our prayers. And even the proclamation of Your word, Father, we know that it does not return void. We pray that even now, Father, You may be using it to help us to move to a higher level, to recognize as the followers of the Lord Jesus that we're on a journey and it is to know You better. So, Father, we pray that You may continue to be at work in our lives. Pray that You may be able to continue to be at work in our church. Help us, Father, to follow the dream and the vision that You have for each one of us. We pray, Father, if there's one here, one listening today that doesn't know You as Lord and Savior, that today they may recognize that they can call upon You and You have called them to a higher level of living. Thank You, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please stand? We're going to sing our song of commitment today. We encourage you to follow the Lord's direction in your life. We pray that the Lord has spoken to you today through what has taken place. If you'd like to come, give your heart and life to Jesus, or talk to one of us. I'm going to be standing out at the front. Pastor Gus is here. We'd love to talk to you about what it means to be a follower of the Lord Jesus. Maybe you already are, but you've not made it public. You need to come for baptism. We encourage you to do that today. If you'd like to come and join the church, this is a good time to do it. You just come let us know that you want to join the Parkway family. We'll tell you the next steps from there. Our altar's open if you'd like to come and pray. You come as we sing together.